Hey guys, I wanted to introduce you to a lady called Andrea Harbour. We're going to be doing an interview in a moment. This is Andrea, sat in my kitchen. She's financially free, making £4,000 a month, soon to be £8,000 a month. We've been working together now for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing story, so watch until the end. So, I've been trying to get you on Winners Wednesday for ages, and you've been avoiding it, although we've been talking a lot. You are a property owner with 7 houses.
Yeah.
Financially free.
Yeah.
And you came to the crash course literally like 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
So tell me, what happened?
Well, I went to, I think it was a crash course back in sort of September 2017, it was.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
So it was quite a long time. And while I was on the crash course, you talked about that you rent where you live.
Yeah.
And while I was sat there, I just thought, what is this about? This just sounds crazy. What is this guy talking about? And I actually went to you in the break. I don't know whether you remember. And I came up to you and I said, why do you rent where you live? And then you explained to me, you know, why would I want to put, you know, huge amounts of deposit down if, you know, I live in a barn and I'd have to put X amount down in order to buy it. And, you know, it gives me the flexibility and I can invest that money into something else. And actually, on the break at the crash course, I went and started looking at houses that I could rent for, you know, a lot nicer than where I'm living. And I actually went home and I said to my husband, I said, you know, I explained the situation. And he was like, oh, that's crazy. And then it kind of like sort of sowed the seed. And it was kind of on the back of my mind that actually it's a really good idea, because at the time, you know, we had quite a bit of equity in our house. And I did look at refinancing it after crash course, but, you know, because of, like, you know, income and stuff, they'll only give a certain amount. And I thought, well, that's not really going to get me very far. So then in a few months later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it kind of put everything on hold for a while, because then I was kind of concentrating on my health and, you know, I had to have an operation and treatment and stuff like that. So it kind of put everything on hold. But at the same time, it gave me the kind of the kick to think, right, I really need to go for this, because, you know, you don't know how long you've got on this earth. You know, you need to, if you want to do something, you kind of need to go for it. So we decided then to sell the house where we lived. Yeah, so we put it for sale in, it was about, when was it? About March 2018. And then we went to another crash course, me and like my husband, and, you know, for him to have more of an understanding of what it was about and stuff like that. And he said, look, let's you know, sign up for the DfE. So I went along and I did the DfE in between kind of my treatment.
And I remember that was like a crazy time.
So I was, everything was up in the air, because I kind of wanted to do what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I had my health to kind of, you know, it was kind of holding me back
and
a little
I remember,
bit.
If I remember rightly, even at the crash course, I remember you. Because when you came, you've been to the crash course more than once.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, you know, I want to do some advanced training. I want to do the DfE. Yeah. I have got cancer. And for me, it was really like, geez.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even want to advise you. Or say, oh, do the training, or do this. Because I'm thinking, you've got much bigger fish to fry and things to worry about. So I was trying to mentor you and give you advice and help you on the property side, but also being really mindful that actually, whilst I want you to be financially set up, this is just kind of secondary.
Yeah.
And we spoke back and forth quite a lot on Facebook over that whole period of time. And it was just, you know, it was just a really... Even for me, it made me think a lot.
It was a difficult time. And I spoke to Russell as well, and he was like, we'll try and work with you. And obviously, then I did the DfE. And
that's
you
the deal finding was done, which is very advanced.
Yeah, and I learned so much, you know, those 3 days. And I kind of came away from that. It was kind of a lot more in depth than the crash course. And I came away. And at the time, I think what I learned from that is... The house that I'd bought in Wolverhampton.
This was before the crash course.
Because I'd bought a house in Wolverhampton it was probably about June 17, just before I went to the crash course.
Was this
course.
After watching the videos and stuff?
No, this was just kind of like our buy a house in Wolverhampton so and rent
you,
it out.
So who taught you or who showed you or inspired you to buy the house? Or did you do it off your own back?
Well, what happened was the idea, because I was kind of watching the housing market in Birmingham at the time and thinking, right, prices are shooting up there. You know, I think it's a really good place to invest. And then ironically, you know, this repossession came up in Wolverhampton, and then we lost out on it, and then, you know, when all the stamp duty was coming in, and
April,
it was like,
and
then it was like, oh, you know, need to try and buy, you know, to try and get things, you know, before then and stuff, and there was a bit of pressure. So anyway, I ended up buying this house, and then after going on the crash course, I thought, that's probably not a great house that I've bought, and it, and what I learned from it, it's not just about, you know, buying a house and renting it out. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
And ironically, now I've sold that house in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah.
We spoke again a lot about the house.
And it was like, it's not a good, it wasn't a good house, you know, and it and this is the other thing you talked about a lot, you know, it's not about what the house looks like, you know, some people can be, you know, and I find it a lot in my job as well. People are sort of blinded by, oh, this looks a lovely, you know, lovely house, you know, it's really like, you know, pretty, and you know, the flat's really nice, and they're kind of blinded by all these things.
But you when work actually, as an estate agent.
Yeah, so I see it all the time in my job. You know, they're just looking at, oh yeah, that looks really nice, let's buy it and rent it out. But obviously, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So as I said, so, I ended up selling that one.
So you came to the crash course. Yeah. You'd bought one house in Wolverhampton, which is actually not a great buy.
Yeah.
And you had, you were living in your house, and you had a lot of equity in the house.
Yeah.
So then you came to the crash course. Your husband, he's a police officer.
Yeah.
So he's quite, you know, different, not like probably like the way I think about, because I think in the police and stuff as well, it's very much, you know, have a pension and, you know, work really hard and really long. So at the crash course, at what point were you like, you know what? This could actually make me a lot of money. When did you realise? Because I know now you do really well, but when did you realise, actually, this is possible?
I think it was when I kind of went away from that crash course and then sort of started working out with the equity that we had, what I could use that to invest in and how much money it would make me on a monthly basis. Yeah. Whereas, you know, obviously having X amount tied up in one house, then you're just like paying a mortgage. And yeah, by the end of it, obviously you've paid off your mortgage and, you know, you're living where you live. But it wasn't going to accelerate the kind of the process kind of where I needed it to be, wanted it to go. So so I just thought, let's do this. So that's kind of what I did. And
okay. So you came onto the deal finding extravaganza.
Yeah.
You loved it.
Yeah.
You had your cancer and everything.
Yeah.
We kept in touch a lot. What happened then?
So I had my operation in May, and then I went to Mexico for treatment towards the end of the year. And then like I had the all clear, like all my scans were clear. They never say like with cancer, it's not like, oh, you're like cancer free. They kind of say you're in remission. So I'm always very mindful of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's made me just want to kind of go for
but
this.
But everybody, everybody's always got the potential of getting something or even dying. And when you were given the, not all all clear, but okay, the what you had, the cancer that you had is now gone. I remember we spoke and it was just like,
a relief. And it is. And, you know, I obviously have setbacks where, you know, I've had friends that we've kind of met up and we've diagnosed at the same time and they've recently died. And, you know, and that can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because you just think, you know, can it happen to me? Or is it going to happen to me? So you've always got that worry. So I think one thing the cancer has taught me, apart from it obviously being a really negative thing, is to you know, some people in life, they just kind of like bog along and just kind of, you know, do their thing, and it's just made me want to really go for what I'm doing and learn as much as I can. You know, I watch all like your videos, like podcasts, you know, read books, and all the time I kind of like immerse myself in as much like information to learn all the time. So I can grow. And it's been difficult, you know, the last sort of, you know, it's kind of not gone, and this is why, you know, you said, why aren't you coming on Winners on a Wednesday? But, and it's not gone as quick as I hoped it would, yeah. Because, you know, like my house that I bought in Blackpool took about just over a year to complete.
I know, it's insane.
Yeah, and the, you know, the stress of that, you know, because it was a commercial sale, there was it was quite in depth.
Yeah.
And actually on the day after completion, it was crazy because I thought, oh, I don't need to be hounding the solicitors anymore. And it was like, oh, I'm quite free, you know. It's like...
It'd become part of your routine,
yeah,
right?
It was just like a part of my daily routine, but, literally for a year.
But you know what, though? Sometimes things can take a long time. And as frustrating as it is, that is part of the business. And yeah. I know you've had that. And you've had issues. You've had issues with tenants.
Yeah.
You've had boilers breaking.
Yeah, so like three in one year.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've had that. But then also, right now, how much profit are you making each month?
So at the moment, currently, one house is sort of we're doing a 7-bed HMO. So we're having a double story side extension to make that a 7-bed HMO with 6 bathrooms. So currently, we're making about $4,200 on the properties at the moment. But
so currently, right now,
yeah,
$4,200 is your profit
yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
however,
after paying sort of mortgages and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, all your
yeah.
costs. So $4,200 is your profit right now. However, yeah. once you get this few things sorted yeah. with the planning and stuff like that, which you will,
yeah.
what's your profit going to be?
It'll be about $8,000.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, $8,000 a month coming from property is worth the headaches that you've had.
Yeah. Well, it will get there because it's just kind of putting, you know, because at the moment I just feel like where we're doing refurbs and, you know, we've had planning and this and you're just kind of paying out a lot of money.
Yeah.
So once, you know, they're kind of one-off things that you've got to pay for. But
yeah.
once all that's done, then, yeah, it will be a lot better probably, you know, towards... you know, I'd say probably another 5-6 months. It will all
yeah.
be.
What are you? What are your properties and where are they?
So my first one that I bought after we sold our house was in High Wycombe.
Yeah,
it was a rundown 2-bedroom house, quite below market value.
How much did you pay for it?
We paid
$202,000.
Yeah.
Did you refurb it?
Yeah, we refurbed. We spent about $22,000 on the refurb.
So all in now you're on $224,000?
Yeah.
And what's the value now?
$285,000. So
that's
we've
awesome.
Refinanced it and we've just took $200,000 out.
Yeah.
So that money will now be used for, some of it will be used for the... extension on the 7-bed.
Yes.
And then once that's done, then we will refinance that and take that back out.
That's great though. The
yeah.
fact that you managed to push the value up so high. And
yeah.
in High Wycombe, which is
yeah.
Which
well
is...
it wasn't, you know, I wasn't overly looking to think, oh, you know, like it's got to be in High Wycombe. It's just that this house came up. I know the area really well.
Yeah.
I knew, you know, because funny enough, with our agent, we'd sold one a few months earlier for 287, like next door but one, so I knew the price of the house.
Yeah.
And now that rents really well, the tenants are excellent. I get 1175 rent for that a month.
Great.
So
and what are the,
you know, we've pulled literally most of the money out.
What are your new mortgage
one.
Payments on that, interest only?
Well, it is interest only. The mortgage payments on that are going to be $487.
So you're paying $487 on the mortgage payments. The rent is
$1,175.
So even with maintenance and management, you've got a nice bit of profit in that.
Yeah.
And you managed to pull out
most of the money. Yeah, I could have took out more, but I just left it at $200 because
yeah.
there was no need to take out any more. And then after that, then we bought a 7-bedroom HMO. And I used none of my own money on that. It was an investor's money that he put the money in. We got the mortgage.
Yep.
And that's all really well
managed.
How
did you manage
now.
To persuade someone to put the money in? Who was that person?
It was a family member.
Yeah.
Because he knew that, I guess, you know, what we were doing. And he had money to invest. He hasn't, you know, got any idea about property and stuff. And I put the idea to him, you
yeah.
know, I kind of, you know, a bit like packaging a deal. I said,
yeah.
look, this house, you know, will earn this much. It's 7 bedrooms. You know, we're split the, we're split 50-50. So he's on to, like, you know, quite a good, you know, because a lot of investors, you know, they will, like, maybe pay them, like, 10%, whereas we are splitting that 50-50, you know, and he's got, like, you know, it's all been done legally through a solicitor, so it's all been done. And, yeah, we split the profits on that. And then we bought the seven-bedroom HMO that we're doing at the moment.
Where is that?
It's in Lane End. It's quite near Marlow, in Buckinghamshire.
Yeah. So these are, like, all quite close to your house?
Because, again, we bought that below market value, because houses in that road, they sell for about £325. I got it for £260 because it was being sold through the council.
Yeah.
So I managed to, you know, build quite a good relationship with the estate agent, and because we bought it cash, we were able to secure it at that price. And yeah, he's put all the money into that, and then I'm paying for the refurb. And
so
then
that's
the third deal. Yeah.
So the same person's put the money.
Same money.
That's great.
So you know, and again, you know, it will be a 50-50. He's got first legal charge on the house. Yeah. That's all, again, done.
But you know what? That's really interesting when you do it right. Like, from his perspective, as you said, he doesn't know anything about investing in property.
Yeah.
But because you do, it's actually your knowledge and your experience now which has brought your value.
Yeah.
So the value that you're bringing to the table, which is the deal itself, the knowledge, the experience, is actually just as valuable as the money that he's bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect joint venture.
Yeah. Well, it works really well. And that, you know, I try and, you know, I give him a statement each month of, you know, what's been the expenditure on the properties, and, you know, what he gets, and everything is kind of listed for him, you know. And I try and kind of simplify it as much as I can, because he doesn't want to get too much into it.
Yeah.
But I want to be as, like, transparent with it.
Yeah.
You know, so he understands, you know, obviously if something goes wrong, then that's why it's been less money that he's got that month.
Yeah.
and so on.
So you've got one in Blackpool, was that number four?
So that's the last one to finally complete. It completed in November last year.
But you've got seven.
Yeah, but we had three others that we had before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are those?
But one is in Slough.
Yeah.
And two are in High Wycombe.
Okay.
But that was our family, and why kind of we started with all of this, you know, originally, was because we sold our family home back. Well, we didn't sell it actually. We were trying to sell it back in 2011. Because I was pregnant with Bella, and we just couldn't sell the house in time, and obviously we really wanted to move, and we managed to kind of, you know, refinance things, so we were able to rent out our family house and move. And then in that 6 years between sort of 2011 and sort of 2017, the house price just they just shot up.
Yeah.
And we were almost at that point where we could have paid off our mortgage in our house where we were living by selling our original family home.
Yeah.
And Spencer said, like, my husband, he said, well, why don't we just do that then? And I said, because we're too young to do that. We need to kind of try and progress with this. And by paying off the mortgage and just, like, living happily, it's not going to move things in the right direction.
But you know what? That's what we're told to do. We're told to work hard, save up money, buy a house, pay off the mortgage. That's why when I'm talking about rent where you live and investment, it freaks people out.
Yeah.
Like, it freaked you out.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I just thought this just doesn't sound right. But obviously, the more research I did, and I listened to Grant Cardone in one of his videos, he talks a lot about
rent where you live.
And then there were some other YouTube things, you know, channels that I watched on it. And the more I listened to it, I totally got it.
Yeah.
And my family, you know, like, they just thought we were crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Even my mum, to say, she was like, yeah, but you do rent where you live. You know, you're only renting this house. I'm like, yeah, but there's a bigger picture. It's not like I'm renting that house and I don't own any other houses. It doesn't matter that I just happen to be renting the one where I'm living.
Yeah.
Because
you've got seven others.
Yeah.
And you're making over 4,000 a month, soon to be doubled.
Yeah.
I mean, when you actually, I know you've had a tough few years, especially on the health side, the property side hasn't been easy.
Yeah.
But actually what you've achieved is amazing. And not only what you've achieved financially with the property, but also Bella, who's, how old is Bella?
She's 8.
She's 8 years old now. Yeah. Even she's like getting into it.
Yeah.
You brought her to the crash course.
Yeah, she wanted to meet you. Yeah, and she said, I was coming today. She went, Mum, can't I come to this? And I was like, what are you going to talk about?
But we should definitely get her on the channel.
Yeah, she's so
but
funny.
She's really into it, though.
Yeah.
And she sees what you're doing.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I've seen her on videos. I've seen her, you know, reading my Buy Low Rent High book.
Yeah.
And going out on the viewings.
Yeah, she does. She likes it, although she doesn't like some of the houses I take her to.
She thinks
they're
ugly.
Because sometimes I pretend that we're going to move there. And she's like, Mummy, I don't want to live in this house.
The ugly houses make the most money, though.
Yeah.
Another thing is, interestingly, I know that you, you're financially free, but you're choosing to still work, but not that much. You're working a few days a month.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Working for an estate agent, JMP in Wickham.
You just love property.
Yeah, I just love it. And also, I just love meeting people and also, like, kind of trying to give something back. You know, I've met in my job where, you know, like, people have recently been left money by, you know, their parents, and they're looking for investments, but they're not necessarily looking for the right investments. So I will always try and guide them in the right direction and say, you know, rather than put all your money into one house, try and spread it out and buy several.
But most estate agents, though, if you go to an estate, if you ask for investment advice, it's all feelings, not formulas.
Yeah.
And also, it's interesting that you said, you know, you invested before coming to the crash course and stuff, and the house that you bought didn't turn out that great. Because sometimes people, if someone's got money, they'll say, I want to put it all into property. And I advocate, and you know this, I advocate, just put a little bit of it in education.
Yeah.
Just put a little bit of it in education, and then the rest in property.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, what would your advice be? Like, do you, because sometimes it's hard for me to say, because people say, oh, you're only saying that because you run a training company. And it's like, no, I actually believe that. And I actually put my own money in education.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I just think there is so much to learn from, you know, education. And, you know, I see it in my job week after week where, you know, as I said, people just thinks it's just about buying a house and renting it out. There is so much more to it, you know. Getting the right, you know, rental property, putting, you know, not putting all your money into it. So I think it really is important. You know, I've been working with someone that, you know, I've been advising through work. You know, I met him, and he's so grateful for all the help that I've given him, and it's enabled him now to buy 2 properties. You know, he's set up a limited company. You know, I've advised him on that. Because what he was doing was all wrong.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able, and he's like, well, why are you helping me? And I'm like, because I just want, you know, I would want someone to help me, like you've helped me. And I think it's good to give something back and advise people, you know, if you know something that, you know, can work better, then help people. There's nothing wrong with helping people.
Yeah, and I see you, you know, you've not only have you been successful, but you've got a big heart, and you've become friends. You're friends with my wife. You helped me move to Buckinghamshire.
Yes, I know. And I found this house, and then you were like, "Oh right, okay." So yeah, we.
Did you find this house and send it to Amanda?
I sent it to you actually.
So are you saying?
And then I because it was funny because when you moved to this house and I saw it on the video, I thought I've seen that house before.
That's
and
crazy.
I scrolled back through our messages, and I thought, and I'd sent you this house.
And of course, by the way, if anyone's wondering, I rent this house.
Yeah.
Because the same way that you now rent your house, it makes sense financially. So basically, if it wasn't for Andrea, I wouldn't be living in this nice house.
Yeah, maybe.
And you even suggested the whole area.
That area, because you were looking at Richmond at the time. And I said, look at Beaconsfield, because obviously you can get to London in sort of, I don't know, it's like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's really good schools around here. Kind of had a little bit, you know, because I always end up finding people houses, kind of what I do. And I had a little bit, you know, look on Rightmove, and I thought, that's a great house. Because you sort of said your budget, and I was like, this will be a great house. And then obviously,
it was under budget.
Yeah, because, so...
What can I say? So, no, that's great.
Really,
so I'm grateful for that. I'm sure Amanda's even more grateful. But so what are the plans now, 2020? What's the...
So the plan now is to get the house in Blackpool finished.
Yeah.
Well, because it's 7 flats. So we're going to run 3 as service accommodation. The other flats are currently rented already. I've got an excellent like managing agent who's helped me immensely with everything. You know, he's organised all the refurb. He's gone way beyond.
Yeah, great.
You know, the help that he's given me with everything, and he runs service accommodations as well in Blackpool. So he offers quite a bespoke service where, you know, he sets all the rooms up, and it's kind of done in a boutique style.
Power team, so
yeah,
important.
And yeah.
How much are you buying the whole block for?
I paid $183,000.
That's not a lot.
And the owner who bought it in 2011 paid $210,000 in 2011, and they refurbed the whole building.
Wow.
Rewired it.
So you've come in.
And I got it, for $183,000.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
So the mortgage payments are peanuts on that.
What kind of profit will you make on that whole block?
Well, once it's all done, it'll probably be about 3,000. Depends on the service accommodation.
Yeah.
It's hard. I've kind of, with my figures, kind of done it on sort of a 15 night occupancy rate.
Yeah, 50. Yeah.
Yeah,
so what's the conservative profit on that each month?
It will probably be about 3,600, 3,700.
That's awesome.
That's been really conservative with the the rentals for
but
the
SA.
But that
deal alone would make someone financially free.
Yeah.
And how much money have you had to put into that deal?
What did I put in the end? 55,000.
So you put 55,000 in,
yeah,
making a conservative 3,600
yeah
a month out. I mean, the return on investment on that is ludicrous.
Yeah.
And that's why, because you could easily invest 55 grand, let's say that's all you had in the world,
yeah,
into one little single let house that's
yeah
going to make you 300 quid a month.
Yeah.
You could easily.
Yeah. And people do it.
In a house that's pretty, or a house that's
yeah
close by, or a house that's near their grandma's house because they think it will be
yeah
cute. But it's all about actually, what would you say of all the things you've done, obviously the crash course many times, you've been on the advanced training as well. What would you say the three most valuable pieces of information or things that you've learned would be that served you the best?
I think it's just to rent where I live, to be honest. That
yeah
that was the kind of
started
an epiphany moment for me.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I think it obviously without money it makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
But you know, having the confidence to kind of go to people and say, look, if I can do this, if you invest with me, then we can achieve this. I think that's another thing that
okay
it
so one
me
is renting
yeah
where you live.
Yeah.
Because you suddenly selling your house gave you a load of cash,
yeah,
which is great. Two is having the confidence to be able to approach joint
other
venture
people, yeah,
which you've done very successfully. Third thing. Talk to me about finding good deals, because before you came on the crash course you invested in a bad deal, now you're investing in ridiculously good deals. How do you find good deals?
I think that's the thing, it teaches you to how to find the good deals and to I just think it gives you an overall awareness of what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of taught me that, because obviously on the crash course you learn about getting a good ROI on properties and just kind of maximising the money that you put in to what you can get out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of ultimately what it teaches you. Whereas on my, as I say, in my job, people just think, oh yeah, that's a pretty house, I'll buy that and rent it out.
Yeah. Do you think more estate agents should get educated?
Yeah, definitely.
Because then they'd be doing my job for me.
Yeah, I don't think they... Yeah, I wouldn't like to say too much.
No, not knocking. Listen, I've been an estate agent.
Yeah.
I worked in an estate agent for 3 months. And I think if every estate agent in the country went on my crash course solely to be able to offer good advice to the investors, imagine how much easier it would be. Pick up the phone to an estate agent and they go, actually, and they understand the language and they understand. I think it'd be great. I think
yeah
if there's any estate agent watching this, come to the crash course just to be able to add more value to your investors. Because look how much people love you.
Yeah.
Because
well,
you pass on the knowledge.
Yeah. And it has been helpful, you know, because they always tend to at work, whenever there is an investor looking at HMOs or certain properties, they tend to send me out because I can give so much more information
yeah
on, you know, the management side, the licensing, what's required.
Mm.
So my knowledge of that is probably greater than, you know, other people that are just out to think, oh, show someone around a house.
Yes, but you know what? The more valuable and knowledgeable you become, always the further you'll go in life and the more money you'll make.
Yeah.
It's just true.
Why I actually initially went on the crash course was when you were on that programme, you know, the week the landlord moved
BBC.
In. And it was so funny. I was sitting down and I wasn't even looking at the TV and the programme came on. And I thought, oh my God, who is that? He's very enthusiastic. And that's when I kind of looked you up and then thought, God, he seems really interesting. And that's when I first went to the crash course because of that programme.
That's great. What would your advice be to someone watching the video that's wanting to get into property?
I would say go along to the crash course, read your book, buy low, rent high, read other books, as many books as you can about property, because you do learn a lot, listen to podcasts. That's what I'd say, really. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really proud of what you've done, and it's also great to be friends. And it's great to be neighbours.
Yeah.
So thanks for finding the area and finding the house.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how 2020 goes for you as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will improve by the end of the year.
100%.
Once everything's up and running. 100%. So, yeah. Thanks
awesome.
For seeing me.
Great job. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Andrea Harbour. She's an amazing person. But here's the thing. You've got to get the knowledge. So if you're about to invest in a property, please, I urge you, do not do it before going to the Property Investors Crash Course. I will leave a link in the description. You can also get booked on for free. There's a £1 booking fee, but the crash course is free, and you can get booked on right here. Go ahead. I'll see you there.